Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today, and particularly welcome you those who are joining us online. Just a couple of notices before we begin. As of this Tuesday, you'll have seen on the notices that we are going to be, the broadcast will be audio only, and that's only going to be for midweek. So we're not planning at this moment in time to change anything on Lord's Day. It will just be for midweek as we slowly move towards hopefully a more normal situation. But clearly we are in the hands of the authorities, and if the government change the rules and we have to revert back, then clearly we will. Also, just to remind people that we are quite full today. There is a delay in the broadcast of the service downstairs by about 30 seconds. So once we finish up here, if you could just remain seated whilst the service finishes downstairs. And then again, we'll evacuate downstairs before we then move to allowing people to leave from upstairs. Well, it's my glad duty on this Lord's Day morning to welcome back Gareth and Joan to us today. We look forward to Gareth's ministry. For those of quite a few now looking round who probably don't remember, Gareth was the minister here for a number of years up until the early 2000s. So we welcome you both back, and we look forward to your ministry today, Gareth.
It's really good to be back, and always encouraging to see so many that we don't know. That means the Lord is adding, we trust. And we thank God and praise God for that. So it's lovely to be here with you. So let's worship God. Read from God's word in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's take our hymn books and sing on the basis of that wonderful, wonderful psalm, hymn number 656, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Thank you. Let us all pray. We bow, Lord, in your holy presence. You who are God, the living God, the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the mystery and magnificence and glory of your being. Everything about you, dear God, draws out our worship and admiration and praise. From you comes all that's virtuous and good and clean and lovely and beautiful and true. And you're opposed to everything, Lord, that is a violation of your beauty and glory. We thank you, dear God, that you're the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow due to turning. You've got no dark hidden side. You are light, and in you is no darkness at all. You're opposed to sin, and all sin that we may regard little or large is offensive to you, an affront to your very pure and holy and lovely being. We praise you because you are eternal. You know all things. You're not bound by time. You have no past, present, and future. You are the great I Am, Yahweh. I Am, the self-existent one, the one from whom all life flows, angelic or earthly. Lord our God, you are righteous through and through. You aren't influenced by anyone or anything. And we bless you for that, Lord. We do bless you. You're consistent too, Lord. Day after day, like your Son, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we glory in your righteousness, Lord, and your hatred of what is wicked and evil and vile and cruel. We delight to worship you, Lord, because you are what you are. And we know that the more we learn of you, the more we'll have to admire and rejoice in. But you are to us, Lord, supremely the God of all grace. That love to the unlovely, oh Lord, we know it so well. We know our ugliness. Without you and without Jesus. We know, dear God, especially those who are older now, Lord, we know the sin that is there, cringing at the door, as it were, desiring to have us. And oh, our God, you've prepared and provided a beautiful and lovely solution. A wonderful and glorious remedy in that altogether lovely one, that fairest among 10,000, that holy one of God, Jesus the Christ. And we praise and bless you for him. And are thrilled, dear God, and humbled by what we know of him. And we ask, Father, that we might learn more and more of him. And that every one of us here, gathered or hearing over other means, that today, Lord, will be a day of growing closer to you or coming to know you for the first time. Please, Lord, help us to, Lord, learn more about Jesus, and not just simply to know more about him, but to grow in grace as well as in knowledge. Make it for us all, Lord, a day to remember, please, as we worship. And may it be but the beginning of many. In Jesus' name, amen. Our second reading from the Word of God is taken from the New Testament and the letter of Paul to the Romans, and chapter 5. Romans at chapter 5. Hear the word of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So reads the word of God. Sorry, it should have been all put in place, but I left it in the boot. I bet you were thinking there was going to be a puppet coming up there and sitting on there and I'd do some ventriloquism. Well, sorry to disappoint you. I've tried my hardest over a number of years to ruin both my legs in one way or another, and they've almost succeeded. Now let's turn to the most important. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's learn about the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and see here in the Word of God these glorious words. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The most important word in this whole passage is the first word that you read here, therefore. Because it brings together all that has been written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the first four chapters of Romans. You remember how it goes. It begins by introducing the glorious gospel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and speaking of his wonderful resurrection, confirming that he is really the Son of the living God. And his humanity descending from David, fulfilling the numerous prophecies of the Old Testament covenant. We're introduced to the heart, the Lord Jesus in his person and work. And then we're told about the glorious gospel, that gospel of salvation to everyone who believes. And then we're told how necessary that gospel is. And we realize that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and wickedness. And through those chapters, we're brought to see what God is doing in the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing a glorious salvation. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith. What a blessing this is. In Job 9, verse 4, you read the question that many have raised: how can a man be righteous before God? If God is righteous, all righteous, how can we have access? How can we come into his presence? How can we even speak to him? How can we be right with God? And in Jesus Christ, God has provided just that very means. To be righteous without anything that we do contributing. Not depending upon us at all for its value and riches. Justified by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Believing this Jesus who is portrayed to us through the Old Testament prophecies and into the New Testament fulfillment. It is justification, and the best way of remembering justification, as I'm sure many of you will know, is to just think of the word justified. 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 Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the degree of it. It's staggering when you think about it. I'm treated by God when I believe in Jesus, when I put my whole confidence and trust in him and give my whole life over to him. I am treated from that moment of repentance and faith in Jesus. I'm treated from that very moment as though I'd never ever sinned. It's staggering when you think about it. And the world should be flocking in here. This place should be bursting with people who are clamoring or knocking on the door saying, come on, let us in, we want to hear about this. Because it's so staggering, it's so fantastic. There isn't a religion in the world like it. There isn't one that comes even close to it. The truth is phenomenal. We repent. We tell God how sorry we are for our wrongdoing and our offenses against him. And we believe, we put our trust, our faith in Jesus. And we're justified by faith. Now that expression, justified by faith, has two particular meanings in this letter to the Romans that are brought out beautifully. It has two meanings, two applications. Justification comes because of Jesus having faith. He lived his life as a human being and he exercised faith in God, and we are justified by his faith. We have justification. But it becomes ours personally when we believe in him. So our justification is by the faith of Jesus, and our justification is by faith in Jesus. We're justified by faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And he was the one who that is something as well that a lot of Christians don't realize, that he lived a life of faith beautifully and perfectly as a human being. So we have this then, this glorious introduction. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. And there are three blessings that are brought out in these verses here. We are justified by faith, and we have peace with God. We have peace, we have access. Notice that in verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We've got peace, we've got access into grace. And then the third, hope. We have hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, verse 2. So these are the three blessings that are brought out in this passage. Peace, access, hope. Let's give some thought to these three. They're marvelous. Peace. It means here, peace with God. God had every reason to be hostile towards us. His wrath was towards us. By nature, we were children of wrath. He had every reason to be angry. He had every reason to cast us out away from his presence and put us into eternal torment. Every justification for that. But instead, through Jesus, we're brought in, forgiven, pardoned, treated as though we'd never ever sinned. And we have peace with God. He's at peace with us. And we're at peace with him. As Paul says to the Colossians in 1 verse 20. We have been reconciled through his blood. We have peace through the blood of his cross. There are two kinds of peace spoken of in the New Testament. There's the peace with God, which is the one here meant. But then there's another one. There's the peace of God. And through Jesus, we who believe, we Christians, we followers of and disciples of Jesus, we have both kinds of peace. The one, when we repent and believe, peace with God. The other is by walking close to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him daily, by the hour. Peace, that peace which Paul speaks of in Philippians, the peace which passes all understanding, that is able to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How could Jesus sleep in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, sleep on a cushion at the back of the boat when the sea was up and down and up and the storms there are horrific, frightening, even for fishermen who have been on that stretch of water often. They're frightening. And there he is, asleep. It's recorded in the scripture. And the disciples were afraid. And many of those men had been fishermen. They'd have been out fishing with their dads when they were lads, and they were fishing into adulthood. Fishermen. They knew the waters, but they were frightened. That's the record. They were afraid with the other disciples. And they came and woke him up and said, Lord, don't you worry, don't you care that we perish? Does it matter to you that we're going to die? And you can just imagine him, can't you? It's not easy when we don't know the tone of things, but we can only guess and estimate the way in which he would say, oh, you of little faith. It would be love, we know, from him towards them. But it would be that sense of rebuke too in his voice. Oh, you of little faith. And then he stands up there. Peace, be still. Waves drop. The wind drops. There's calm. That's a lovely illustration of his power in nature. And later, when he's there over the other side from Galilee, when he's in the land of the Gadarenes, when he met two men who were out of their mind, insane, demon-possessed, having many, many evil spirits in them. They were in an appalling spiritual, mental, emotional and physical state, insane, out of their minds. And Jesus delivered them. Because he's just as much power over human beings as he has over the natural elements of the world. He was asleep in that boat with a tranquility that he makes available to his people. And if you who love the Lord Jesus here today and are watching and listening, do you know that tranquility? That peace of God, as well as peace with God? Well, you've got access to God to get near to him and get further help from him. So we see here, we have access into this grace in which we stand. Access. How wonderful. We were outsiders. We were kept out. Debarred. Now, we're welcomed. We're not only welcomed into the presence of God, but we're given a new status. We're children. We're part of the family. We belong. Coming to God is home. And we can call him Father. You can dwell on that, you know, for a long time. Just thinking of the privilege that you've been given to call the eternal God my Father. Father. And to appeal to him, knowing that he'll be a better father than even the best that you've known here on this earth. He will have all the riches at his disposal and lavish his love upon us. We have access into this grace. See, the primary business of the Christian gospel is not to just give us blessings. It's to reconcile us to God. That's the big issue. To reconcile us to God. To bring us into the friendship and fellowship with living God. And we have this through Jesus. We have this access. And it's a ready access. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. And every week that God allows you to have. Anytime, anywhere, over anything. That's amazing, isn't it? Access to God. Access to this grace in which we stand. We have been brought close, in the closest possible relationship with God. And then thirdly, we have hope. And hope, I've explained it a number of times, I'm sure every time I mentioned hope, I've said it here, and that's probably a good part of the congregation could tell me exactly what I'm going to say next. Hope is a combination of two English words. Expectation and desire. You can expect something, but not want it to happen. You can want something, but not expect to get it. But when you combine these two together, hope is expecting and desiring. It's like that lovely passage in Titus, which speaks is in Titus 2:13. Is it looking for that blessed hope? And the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That hope there. We expect Jesus to come because his word says so. God has said he's coming. We expect him to come. But because of his love for us and because we now love him, and we want him to come. And hope is that combination. It's a real hope. It's a living hope. The Bible often uses that expression, doesn't it? Together. Living hope. It's not a dead hope. Lots of hope around the place, and it's hopeless, really. Our hope is a living hope. It's hopeful, full of hope. There's desire and there's expectation, and we know that it's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come again. We have hope. We have hope. And you remember how Peter, the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, speaks about the way in which we've got a wonderful hope, that we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. That hope of a future life. Look, things are going from bad to worse in this country and in the world at large. We're in real bad times. There's confusion, there's turmoil, and there's evidence of an anti-God attitude and an anti-God spirit on every hand throughout our nations. It's, humanly speaking, terrifying. But when we're trusting in God, when we know God and have peace with God through Jesus, when we're justified by faith in Jesus and all that he has done, that peace will keep our hearts and minds even when things are dreadful. It's the Christian who shines in these circumstances because we have a hope in us a hope in God, a trust and expectation and desire. We're going to know something better. God is working his purposes out. At times it doesn't look like it. We don't see evidence of it, but he says he is. And as we look back in history, in Old Testament scriptures and in the New Testament, we can see how God works through the most unusual means. Means that we would have never thought of or devised. And he achieves his purpose. As he says through the Apostle Paul in, is it in Ephesians 1:11, he achieves all things according to the counsel of his own will. Oh, praise God. He's sovereign. Isn't that wonderful? He's sovereign. And we have hope because he is in charge. And this is what we have as the blessings when we're justified by faith. Peace, access, hope. Peace with God, peace from God. Access anytime, any day over anything to him. Access. Hope in him, because we're putting all our confidence in God's word, that he will keep his word, he will do what he has promised, and it's thrilling and it's exciting. There are the three blessings. But, and there's a big but, there's something else. There are not only three blessings in this passage, but there is also a very strong application. See what it says there in verse 3? We also glory in tribulations. We glory, he says, in suffering. Maybe let that sink in for a moment. We who love God, who are justified by faith and know that we're children of God and that the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin and he is our Father, God is our Father, and the Lord Jesus our Saviour, we glory in suffering. It comes out often in the scriptures. And yet you often find Christians, professing believers, who get all upset about the amount of suffering there is in the world and the amount of suffering that the godly have to face. They get upset about it. But it's there. It's to be expected. We expect to have a hard time. And we should be surprised if we don't have a hard time. We should be surprised if we don't suffer persecution. And we should inquire before God on our knees, if you can get down on your knees. We should inquire of God, what's wrong with us that we're not being persecuted? Are we not living close enough to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we not living a godly life? Are we not letting our light so shine before the world that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven? We should ask ourselves. Because the word of God says, all who live godly will suffer persecution. You're going to have a hard time sooner or later, brother or sister. Because God's warned you of it. So don't be surprised at our society going from bad to worse. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And one of the worst things that God can do for us in our sinful state is to give us up. If you read Romans again, Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 down, you will see that there are periods, very distinct periods, God giving us what we want. And that seems to be very much what's happening right now. Only it's a fourth category under the three categories of Romans chapter 1. It's getting worse. The apostles could never have believed what we are now experiencing in our fallen, corrupt society. So the question for all of us who believe from these scriptures, are you rejoicing in peace with God? That all your sins are forgiven and God has wiped them away? Are you rejoicing in that access and making full use of that access as often as you will to God, your Father? Have you got that hope burning in your heart? Hope for the future world that's coming, that's going to be beautiful and marvelous, and it's really going to be all the best that we see in creation now is going to be even more beautiful. When the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And when only righteousness will dwell. It's almost difficult to imagine it, isn't it? If impossible. Impossible to imagine what it's going to be like. Hope. Incorruptible, undefiled. Fadeth not away. But are you seeing your suffering as a means of glorifying God and saying, this is in the sovereignty of a Father who loves me very, very dearly, who really does love me? You've only got to think about Calvary to know the extent of it. That's how deeply the Father loves you and me. The Father who loves me is ordaining this for me. And I need to make use of the access to him and gain from him the resources to glorify him in it and through it and be able to rejoice and come out through it with a smile on my face because heaven loves me. My Father is in control. And it's not forever. To him be the glory. Amen. Closing hymn is numbered 746. 746. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side.
Thank you.
Our Father God, teach us all how to obey that call which says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication make your request with thanksgiving to the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear God, grant this blessing to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.